Welcome. Welcome to chapel. With the looming storm around somewhere, we'll trust that the Spirit will envelop us in a storm of presence. This is our third year to move into and to utilize the ecumenical worship service for the week of prayer for Christian unity. 2 years ago, it was the churches of Jerusalem that had put together this worship service, and that was the year that Focolare joined us. Last year, if you recall, it was Poland who pulled together this worship service. And this year, we are walking into what was created by the church in India. The search for unity throughout the year is a period of time in the Northern Hemisphere for the week of prayer for Christian unity, which falls always on the 18th to the 25th of January. Those dates were proposed in 1908 by Paul Watson to cover the days between the Feast of St. Peter and St. Paul, and therefore have symbolic significance. In the Southern Hemisphere, where January is a vacation time for churches, they often find other days to celebrate the week of prayer, for example, around Pentecost, which is a symbolic date for the unity of the whole church. So mindful of this, I invite you, and they invite us, into this time of prayer for the whole church through this week, and that we would continue to pray for together that the full unity of the body of Christ would come to be, which is prayer of Christ, that we would be one even as the Trinity is one. I just want to make a note that EMS is in many ways an ecumenical community. So that in our hearing, we have among us Baptists, Brethren in Christ, Christian, Church of the Brethren, Disciples of Christ, those in the Episcopal Church, Lutheran, Mennonite Church, other Mennonites, Muslim, some that are among us that have not listed, but they claim their Christian faith. There's Presbyterian, Roman Catholic, United Church of Christ, United Methodist, of course. And more recently, we now have a student who is in the Old Rite Orthodox Church. So we are a rather diverse ecumenical group who gathers together as a learning community in the name of Christ. Let us begin. Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." So let us in silence acknowledge the presence of the triune God in our midst. Where the mind is without fear and the head is held high, where knowledge is free, where the world has not been broken up into fragments by narrowed domestic walls, where words come out of the depth of truth, where tireless striving stretches its arms toward perfection, where the clear streams of reason have lost its way into the dreary desert sand of dead habit, where the mind is led forward by thee into ever-widening thought and action. You are our refuge, divine light. You are a refuge, giver of peace. You are a refuge, Lord of mercy. You are a refuge.
Oh.
I invite you to stand. And I know we're scattered, but is it possible to reach out to the person beside you? The only thing you really have to say is how very good and pleasant it is when sisters and brothers live together in unity. We praise you, dear God, for creating us in all our diversity. For the gift of our many cultures, language, diverse expressions of belief, customs, traditions, ethnicities, we thank you. We thank you for the many church traditions that have kept our community strong and active, even in places where they are in minority. Teach us to celebrate our different identities and traditions so as to forge bonds of friendship and fellowship, leading us to greater unity. How very good and pleasant it is when sisters and brothers live together in unity. We praise you, Jesus Christ, for reconciling us with God and with one another through your death and resurrection, and teaching us to respect the dignity and value of all human beings. We thank you for your inbreaking into our lives every day, calling us to stand in solidarity with those whose dignity is broken by political, social, and economic structures. Teach us to celebrate the message of hope that in you we can overcome all that is evil in our world. How very good and pleasant it is when sisters and brothers live together in unity. We praise you, Holy Spirit, for the gift of mutual interdependence and solidarity that has been our heritage as peoples and churches. Teach us to treasure the bonds of unity we enjoy as we beseech your continuing presence with us. Inspire us on our journey towards full visible unity among us and with all those people and movements that engage in the struggles for life. A very good. Sisters and brothers, live together in unity. Confession of sin and assurance of pardon. We know that in Christ, we are already one. In spite of this, our human weakness has not always led us to witness to this reality. Let us now confess our sin of disunity and seek the Lord's healing. Together. In humility, we come to your feet, dear God, as we remember our sinfulness and the disunity for which we have been responsible. We confess that we preserve the inherited human barriers of caste, class, ethnicity, power, and all things that keep Christians apart. We ask for your forgiveness that we have often used our history and our past as churches to discriminate against one another and hurt the unity which is Christ has called us. Forgive us our disunity and help us to continue to strive for unity in the precious name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Supplication. Together. Come now, Jesus, into our midst and heal us in our disunity. Lead us into the paths of righteousness so that all can find life. Come now, Jesus, into our midst and teach us how to listen to the cries of those who are pushed into the margins. Come now, Jesus, into our midst and inspire us to work together with all those who strive for liberation so as to build unity within your broken body. Amen. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen.
This first reading comes from Micah 6, 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
A testimony of faith. When they came for Sarah Diggle, she wasn't there. She had fled, five children and mother-in-law in tow, to the safety of the jungles a kilometer away. So they set ablaze all that she had left behind, a framed picture of Jesus, a Bible in Oriya, utensils in the kitchen, some clothes, mats, and linen. By the time Sarah tiptoed back, when she saw it was safe, her home was gone. What was left was burning embers, ashes, and smoke. The neighbors came to commiserate with her. Sarah took a good look, stood erect, and pulled her sari firmly around over her head. She began to pray, "Lord, forgive us our sins. Jesus, you are the only one. Save us from our misfortune. Free us, Lord." The words were tumbling out. Sarah's children slowly joined her. She was weeping as she pleaded with God for deliverance. Her neighbors and others around her joined her. It was a simple bond of human compassion and a strong reminder that nothing can sever a woman from her God. "I will die, but I will not stop being a Christian," Sarah said through her tears. A staunch and brave Dalit Christian woman. What are the testimonies of faith that come into your awareness? Let us, in silence, meditate on these testimonies of faith and courage. As we commend the faith of our sister Sarah and others, let us be challenged in our own journeys of faith.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. In the path of righteousness, there is life. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. In the path of righteousness, there is life. O God, the insolent rise up against me. A band of ruffians seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. In the path of righteousness, there is life. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your serving maid. In the path of righteousness, there is life.
A reading from the letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 23 to 28. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." "Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
The piece of artwork on the stage was commissioned several years ago for School for Leadership training, but I think it's very appropriate to the Emmaus journey and to us being one in the body of Christ. It's a loaf, And in the loaf, we are all part of that, with Jesus' outstretched arms on either side, inviting us all to the table in unity as companions for the journey. I'm going to read several paragraphs from the introduction to the theme for this year, What Does the God Require of Us? To mark its centenary, the Student Christian Movement of India was invited to prepare the resources for the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. And they involved the All Indian Catholic University Federation and National Council of Churches in India. In the preparatory process, while reflecting on the significance of the Student Christian Movement and the World the Day of Prayer, it was decided that in the context of great injustice to Daltists in India and in the church, the search for a visible unity cannot be disassociated from the dismantling of the casteism and the lifting up of contributions to unity by the poorest of the poor. The Daltists in India, their context, are the communities to which are considered outcasts. They are the people worst affected by the caste system, which is a rigid form of social stratification based on notions of ritual purity and pollution. Under the caste system, the castes are considered to be higher or lower. The Dalit community are considered to be the most polluted and polluting, and thus placed outside the caste system, and were previously even untouchable. Because of casteism, the Daltists are socially marginalized, politically underrepresented, economically exploited, and culturally subjected. Almost 80% of Indian Christians have this background. Despite outstanding progress in the 20th century, the churches in India remain divided among doctrinal divisions inherited by Europe and elsewhere. Christian disunity in India within churches and between them is further accentuated by this caste system. Casteism, like apartheid, racism, and nationalism, pose severe challenges for the unity of Christians in India, and therefore for the moral and ecclesial witness of the church as one body of Christ. As a church dividing issue, casteism is consequently an acute doctrinal issue. It is in this context that this year's Prayer for Christian Unity invites us to explore the well-known biblical text of Micah 6, 6-8, focusing upon the question, what does God require of us, as the main theme? The Dalit experience serves as a crucible from which, within which theological reflection on biblical themes emerge. Now, Micah's strong call to justice and peace is concentrated in chapters 6 through 7, part of which forms a theme of this year's week of prayer. Micah sets justice and peace within the history of the relationship between God and humanity, but insists that this history necessitates and demands a strong ethical reference. Like other prophets who lived in the period of Israel's monarchy, Micah reminds the people that God has saved them from slavery in Egypt and called them through the covenant to live in a society built on dignity, equality, and justice. Thus, true faith in God is inseparable from personal holiness and the search for social justice. More than just worship, sacrifice, and burnt offerings, God's salvation from slavery and daily humiliation rather demands that we should do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. The path of Christian discipleship involves walking the path of justice, mercy, and humility. So the metaphor of walking has been chosen to link together the 8 days of prayer as an active, intentional, and outgoing act. The metaphor of walking communicates a dynamism that characterizes Christian discipleship. Further, the theme of this assembly in 2013, that God of life lead us to justice and peace, resonates with the image of the Trinitarian God who accompanies humanity and walks into human history while inviting all people to walk in partnership. Hence the Emmaus theme of walking together. Walking in conversation, day one. Walking in with the broken Christ, day two. Walking towards freedom, day three. Walking as children of earth, day four. Walking as friends of Jesus, day five. Walking beyond barriers, day six. Walking in solidarity, day seven. And walking in celebration, day eight. May God continue to bless to us our awareness of our unity in Christ through the Spirit of God. Amen.
Please join me for the prayers of intercession found in your bulletin. Walking in conversation, let us recognize all the efforts of the ecumenical movement towards the realization of the unity willed by Christ for the Church.
Send your Spirit to strengthen our resolve and deepen our conversations to realize Jesus' prayer in us.
Walking with the broken body of Christ, we are painfully aware that we are still unable to join in the breaking of bread together. Hasten the day when we can realize the fullness of fellowship at the Lord's table.
Inflame in our hearts the desire to overcome all that divides us so that we can see one peace in our brokenness.
Walking towards freedom, let us remember, along with Dalit communities, other people facing similar kinds of discriminations, and may the unity of the churches be a sign of hope in situations of injustice.
Strengthen our churches, community, spaces of society, and communities who enable them to live with dignity and freedom. Allow us to be transformed by their gifts and presence.
Walking as children of earth, we realize that we are pilgrims in the wonderful gift of creation given to us. Let us respect the earth as your creation and make us sensitive to the care of it.
Let your Spirit renew creation and make us attentive to the suffering of the landless people who are often the bearers of a tradition of prudent care of the earth and its resources.
Walking as friends of Jesus, let us accompany marginalized communities all over the world that Jesus chooses to identify with in overcoming centuries of shame to find freedom and dignity. Let us befriend those friends of Christ, like the Dalit Christians, who are often persecuted for choosing Christ and rejecting caste.
Enlarge and deepen our fellowship and friendship with you and with each other, so that we will remain faithful and truthful to your calling.
Walking beyond barriers, let us build communities of unity and equality.
Grant us courage so that we can overcome cultures and structures that hinder us from recognizing the presence of God in each other.
Walking in solidarity with women like Sarah and other victims of discrimination and injustice, let us be shaken out of our apathy.
Encircle us with your love as we affirm the image of God in each person we encounter. Enable us to do justice by breaking through social structures and inequality.
Walking in celebration, we come to see that the unity we share within our communities is a profound witness to the gospel of faith and hope. As we celebrate that unity, let us also rejoice in our rich diversities that reflect the life of the Trinity.
May we celebrate the diversity in human life, born from the struggles of dignity and survival amid oppression, and see in it the signs of your guiding vehicles, your people. In Christ's name we raise all these prayers, O God. Amen. Let's pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to stand for the blessing and dismissal. Be present to us, triune God, who nurtures us, to remind us of the purpose you have for each one of us in our churches.
Amen.
Walk before us, triune God, who strengthens us and leads us on the path to unity.
Amen.
Call us into abundant life, triune God, who sustains us as we stand together and call upon God. Go out into the world to heal and to be healed.
Amen.